We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me.
Hell no.
John Tate.
Are we still live?
Build a 68 till I die.
Get it to you.
I'm sorry, man. I blacked out.
Randolph Children.
DJ Khaled. You know the big DJ Khaled guy?
Hands brought up and in.
Goodman needs to be fired all the time.
Josh Pastner.
You're going to beat people straight up.
You know the deal.
They have no swag. They have no nothing.
Terrell McNeil.
From the bluest of the blue bloods to the smallest of the mid-majors.
This is Field of 68. After Dark.
This is the Field of 68 After Dark on this Monday night, March the 25th, 2024. We're coming to you on Sirius XM Channel 84, on YouTube, on X, here on the Field of 68. Sweet 16 is set. I'm John Phantom, Matt McCall's here, Randolph Childress is here. And to start our show tonight, we welcome in the head coach of the Creighton Blue Jays. This has been one of the best programs in college basketball in the recent years, and in this tournament, three Sweet 16 appearances in the last 4 years. The Blue Jays will be in action against Tennessee in the Midwest region. This game coming up on Friday night. Mac, thanks for starting the show with us. Congratulations on making it back to the Sweet 16. First and foremost, I know you said this over the weekend, like each team is different, but the feeling never gets old. What's the emotion in your mind coming off of an insane all-time game against Oregon in a win?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the scene in the locker room was incredible. This has been a special group to coach. I've just had a blast coaching this team. And to see it culminate in a game like that, to get back to the Sweet 16 and, you know, against the former coach at Creighton, you know, there's been two of us coach here in 30 years, which is pretty incredible. But, you know, Dana did a great job with that team. It took everything we had, you know, to win that game. And, you know, really excited for our group and excited for me that I get to coach him one more week at least.
Coach Randolph Childress here. Congratulations. I got to ask you, going back to the Oregon game, because I got mixed emotions on late game situations. Are you a foul down three, coach? Are you a foul? Are you not? And I got to ask you also about your decision at 4 minutes to go. No, 1 minute to go. You're down four. You play the possession out. Get a stop, go down, get a basket, foul. Obviously, they missed it, and we forced it in overtime. Like, how do you prepare your team? But more importantly, that question I asked her, are you a foul guy? You obviously played that scenario out. Was that just at the moment, or how do you play it?
Yeah. Now, if I tell you that, now Rick Barnes knows what I'm going to do too, right?
Well, so, I think you already answered it. But
how about we have this conversation after the tournament? But, you know, you could go look at some previous games and figure that out on your own. But, you know, we decided to play that out. And, you know, I trust our defense. And, you know, but it takes a little luck in the tournament. Let's be honest. Every team that makes a deep run in the tournament usually has a game where a couple things go right. And, you know, Baylor Sharman just made an incredible play in transition just to go at the rim and make the referee make a decision. You know, our best chance there was to score some points with the clock stopped. And, you know, then we executed the press perfectly, you know, and got Dante to get the catch and got the quick foul. And, you know, he made his other four free throws on the night. We were just fortunate he missed that one.
Coach, we were talking about this off the air, just, and you alluded to like how late you guys got back to the hotel, travel back home. What does this week look like for you just in terms of getting prepared for Tennessee?
Yeah, you know, Matt, we didn't do anything really today with the guys that played big minutes. You know, we got a few shots up and walked through some things, but I had three guys basically play 50 minutes in that game. And, you don't get to the hotel till 1:30, but you play in a game like that and the adrenaline and the excitement, like our guys didn't sleep at all that night. Fortunately we're playing a Friday game, which gives us that extra day. So we'll still get three good days of prep work on Tennessee. I'm frankly a little surprised at some of these start times, especially this coming weekend. I think the game before us is, whatever it is, it's 7:37 or 7:40. There's no way we're tipping off till after 10 o'clock. And, the winner of that game could turn around and have to play in the middle of the afternoon on Sunday after getting back into your hotel room at 1:30 or 2 in the morning. And, in this era of doing right by student athletes, that doesn't fit into the student athlete welfare piece to me very well.
Mac, along those lines, I want to get back to your team and all the great things that they've done. But, I just find it disheartening in a way that we're all waking up again today. And for the last 10 hours, it has been this name is in the portal or this name is getting hired. I'm not saying you can stop coaching hires at all. However, this nonstop cycle of everything else happening during what is supposed to be the most joyous time of the year in the sport, where the focus – in my opinion, should be on the people who have fought their asses off to get to a Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, all that madness, the beauty of the NCAA tournament. How do you feel about the state of things in that regard?
First of all, John, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you Saturday morning I got a text from the greatest quarterback in AFC North history, Ben Roethlisberger, prior to our game. So I knew you'd appreciate that Big Ben reached out after finding out I was a Steeler fan.
Of course you won. like that.
But I don't like the way the dates are, John. I think it's crazy that the transfer portal opens up the day after Selection Sunday. To your point, the news cycle and everything that's going on around college basketball should be celebrating the teams that made the tournament. And frankly, it puts teams that continue to win that need a couple guys in the transfer portal at a little bit of a disadvantage, because we can't be out on the road meeting with guys. It's really hard to, bring someone to an official visit when you're trying to prep for your next game. So, I wish they'd adjust the dates a little bit. I'm all for guys being able to leave if they want to leave. I think, we're all past complaining about that. But I just wish the dates were a little different. It makes it tough, I think, on all of us.
There's so many things that are going on with the game in itself. With the portal, you got the conference realignment. You got so many things that are going on. Is there something you would like changed or legislated or tweaked a little bit? That's something that's not, we don't need to go to Congress maybe to get done. Is that something you feel about? Like, personally, I think of, and I would ask you this with the transfers. One of the things about the portal is I would be okay with freshman year, sophomore year, and graduates, but at least allow, if you transfer as a junior, at least allow that player to be there 2 years, even for them to graduate. I don't know many institutions you can transfer to in 1 year and just graduate.
Yeah, it's very difficult. And, I'm not sure any of that's going to ever happen again. I think we're kind of stuck,
right,
with what we have. I think there are a lot of young people that are, getting sold a bill of goods on it with this NIL stuff, and it's not coming to fruition. So I hope at some point we can come up with a uniform way to protect the student athletes. I'm not sure there's much protection there. I don't know that, the contracts they sign with these NIL folks, these collectives, are worth the paper that they're written on. So there's just a lot of stories of a lot of promises that end up being empty promises. And then kids get into situations that it's, very difficult to get out of, and it wasn't what they were told it was going to be. So I hope at some point we can come with a uniform plan to maybe make what's going on with these collectives a little bit more public. So it's out there for everyone to see, and you know that the schools have to follow through with it.
Coach, you know, you have one of the best offenses in the entire country, shifting back to your team here, and obviously had a tremendous amount of success since you've been at Creighton. What's different about this group just in terms of the balance that you have on the offensive end of the floor, you know, maybe from other teams that you've had at Creighton?
Yeah, you know, we always preach on selfishness, and we attempt to accomplish that in recruiting. You know, I've gotten over trying to recruit selfish people and make them unselfish basketball players. So we go with unselfish people to start with. But, you know, I think the leadership on this team is as good as any team I've ever had. You know, Trey Alexander's been terrific. Baylor Shireman, Ryan Kalkbrenner, they've been around in our program. They understand what the expectations are in our program. Then we bring in Stephen Ashworth, who's, you know, is as mature of a 23-year-old as anybody I've ever met. And, you know, he's just really added to our culture, and his leadership has been very important as well. And if you watch that game the other night, you know, we went 1 of 11 to start the game from the 3-point line. We had a lot of really good looks, and nobody gets shook. The expressions on their faces don't change. And even late in that game, there wasn't a lot of panic on their faces. And, you know, that's makes my job pretty easy and makes me look pretty good.
Mac, before we let you go, Ryan Kalkbrenner, I loved him at the podium after the win over Oregon because he just deadpans. He's got this dry sense of humor. Like he comes off as a sitcom character. And he just goes, I know that was definitely the shot that Mac wanted on that possession. That was our best case. When he hoists that three, before that shot, folks, 16 for 52 on the year. The point is he had taken 52. He was open that moment. This kid, three-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year. The only other guys that could say that are Patrick Ewing and Alonzo Mourning. What does Ryan Kalkbrenner mean as an all-time Creighton Blue Jay?
You know, I think his jersey will be in the rafters someday. You know, he's got – he just broke the Doug scoring record for NCAA tournament points. He's played in more NCAA tournaments games than anybody that's ever worn our uniform. He's won more NCAA tournament games than anybody that's ever worn a Creighton uniform. you know, I told him because I felt against Akron that they're going to be in drop coverage. The big's going to be back. So I actually made him make 100 threes both days prior to us leaving for Pittsburgh because I thought he was going to have an opportunity to shoot him. And he's worked pretty hard at that. And John, if you go back and watch the North Carolina State game in our first round game a year ago, North Carolina State made a great run to start the second half. We were down 7 and, you know, Kalkbrenner pops to the top, lets go of 3 and hits it. And it just totally changed the momentum of the game. So, you know, he's picked and chosen when to shoot those threes all season long. And, you know, I've never looked at him cross-eyed when he's taken one, but we had some fun with that one. You know, it was almost to the rim before I realized what happened, and then it obviously it went in, and he gave me a little wink and went down and blocked another shot.
Well, Mac, it might be late Friday night. We'll all be up for it. I know it's a little bit past your bedtime, but here's one thing we know, Mac. Baylor Shireman, Trey Alexander, on the other side, I know you respect Dalton Connect. That's some high-level college shot making.
It's going to be an incredible game. I mean, they're you know, Coach Barnes has done an unbelievable job of that program. And defensively, you know, we've seen UConn a couple times. Obviously, they're elite defensively. And I, you know, I think Tennessee's every bit as good. But Dalton's a terrific player. It's a great story from, you know, where he started to where he is now and how much he's improved. And, you know, Ziegler is, you know, I think one of the best defensive point guards that I've seen this season. So it'll be a fun game, and our guys will show up and, you know, let it rip and see what happens.
Before 2021, Creighton had not been to a Sweet 16 since 1974. That was under a different tournament format. Now 3 and 4 years. This is a golden era of Creighton basketball. And Mac, take that terrible towel with you here as you guys head to Detroit.
I will. Always great to catch up with you guys.
Good luck to you guys.
Greg McDermott.
Good luck, Coach.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
Mac, have a great night. Tell you what, Coach McCall, while we've got 2 minutes, when you think about, like, that stat again, folks, 1975 to 2020, They had been to a total of no Sweet 16s, 17 tournaments, and now they've made 3 in 4 years. Like, Matt McCall, is there a guy doing a better job with a program of than Greg McDermott is with this Creighton program? This is not Duke, Carolina, this, you know, even the UConn. Like, he's made them belong every year in this second weekend.
I mean, credit his AD for locking him up, because there's a lot, we've had a lot of job openings on this coaching carousel, and I think there's even more to come, and I know we're going to get into more of that later on in the show, but they've locked him up. It's really remarkable. And he's a guy, when you watch him, just his demeanor on the sidelines too, he never seems to get too high, too low. He's very even keeled, and he just alluded to it. Like, his team plays that way. Even when they get in tight games, they don't panic. It's remarkable, and it's a credit to him. And, you know, tenure is something in college basketball that's not easy, and very few coaches get it, and he's gotten it, and it's because of who he is as a coach and how he handles himself out there.
Hell of a coach, man. We know he is. They've always been one of the better offenses we've seen. I think Kalkbrenner's, you know, his growth and his maturation and, you know, process in his game and what he's developed into, I think, has changed his team, because he gives them a presence defensively that is, I think, is why you obviously hear Coach talk so highly of him and saying he'll have, his jersey retired there someday. But we've seen this, I think, before somewhat, and I think that's what Matt Painter's done at Purdue. And he's been able to change it consistently, just having a guy, whether it's Zach Edey or anyone else, that style and his style and being able to sustain it, I think, more than just a 3 or 4 year period.
All right, we've got a break. Coming up after this, I'll ask Matt McCall and Randolph Childress what they're most excited for in the Sweet 16, plus John Calipari and Kentucky drama. This is After Dark.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines for making all of our picks and predictions, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money to get it. This is what you have to do to make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using that bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game. You'll get up to $1,500 in bonus bets if your bet loses. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the rest of the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odds boost, and the thing that I love the most, a nice little parlay boost, as well as a ridiculous array of prop bets for anything that you could possibly imagine betting on. From odds on getting to the Final Four to national championship futures, I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet. So go download the BetMGM app. Use that code FIELD and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request. The best way to support the Field of 68 content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod in any podcast app. Like and share the YouTube videos that you enjoy. Tell your friends about us. It all helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the Field of 68 After Dark on this Monday night, March the 25th, 2024. Sweet 16 is set. This is a heavyweight Sweet 16. Could be an all-time Sweet 16. For the first time since 2019, and just the fifth time since the tournament expanded in 1985 to the 64-team, now it's the 68-team format, you've got the top two seed lines are unscathed. In the East, you get UConn and San Diego State. Then you get Illinois and Iowa State. So you've got 1-5, rematch of a national championship game. Then the best offense in the country analytically in Illinois, the best defense in the country analytically in Iowa State. Let's go in the West. North Carolina and Alabama. You get two elite offenses in the West. Arizona and Clemson. RC will have a parade coming up on the ACC. In the South. Houston and Duke. I mean, could you? Houston and Duke is a Sweet 16 game. If I had told you at the start of the season they would play in the tournament, you might have guessed it'd be a Final Four game. You got Marquette and NC State, and then in the Midwest, Purdue Gonzaga. Like, are you kidding me? They're going to meet again. And then, as we just said, and thank you to Greg McDermott for joining us, Creighton will meet Tennessee. So, with that in mind, you've seen all the regions. RC. The biggest takeaway from the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament and then spinning things ahead.
What don't get on an ACC soapbox. Don't do that.
No. I'm not. I know what fans are trying to set me up for. I just sent out a tweet. And fans are just trying to set me up. I'm not going to use this to gloat, but I told him I did. I hit him with my Michael Jordan post.
There's still an hour and 10 minutes left for us, so you've got plenty of time. You hit them with the Jordan. You should be proud. They went 8-0 in the first and second rounds. They're the big winner.
They did. They were. I thought they played really, really well. Pac-12 was good. I mean, it was a lot of good basketball played. I mean, there's too many other things to talk about. I think it's the success the ACC has always had. They did get five teams in. I think some people are going, they should have got 7 or 8. Slow down, calm down. I thought Pitt was one of those teams playing really well. Wake needed to win another game or two in the tournament, and they didn't, and they didn't get in. So I think this is just ammunition for what everyone talks about that. There just needs a little bit more respect during the course of the year. So there's a little bit of overreaction on both sides of it.
Coach, where do you stand?
First of all, Mark Few, Gonzaga. Let's just make sure we say it right, because a couple times on the Field of 68, I haven't pronounced Gonzaga right, and Gonzaga fans tweet at me. I mean, what a remark. Like, is the guy ever not in the Sweet 16? I mean, we talk about streaks. He's never not coached in the tournament. Ever.
It's the dumbest one I made all year, and I apologize. I'm apologizing to Matthew. I'm apologizing to you. What an idiot I was. I drank the Kool-Aid. I was just looking at them. I literally was looking at my bracket going, I was just trying to pick an upset. I was like, 5-12 is usually where the upset is. I'm like, McNeese State's going to get
it. We got blinded by McNeese. Over 30 wins. Willie Wade.
The game started, I looked and was like, I'm an idiot.
And Few said it, too, in his press conference, that he was using that to fuel the fire, and he thinks that everyone picking McNeese to beat them was part of the reason that they played so well. His team responded. So let me start there. Just absolutely remarkable. 9 straight Sweet 16s. You know, what was it? 6 weeks ago, they were on the bubble before they went into Rupp Arena and took it to Kentucky. Like, they were on the bubble, and the guy's in the Sweet 16 again. So if he's in the field, which he's going to be in the field every single season, he's proven that as a head coach, you might as well just put them in the Sweet 16 in your bracket. Don't ever pick against Gonzaga. But to me, the matchup, when you look at the bracket right now, and we just had Coach McDermott on, that's the one, man. Tennessee Fancy. And Creighton, that's the one.
That's the thing. I don't know if there is a matchup that you can say. I think the storylines that we have heading into this round of Sweet 16 are some of the best that you could ever ask for. I mean, in a round of 16s. You got – I don't think it's close. I think the stories of the Cinderella teams like NC State, so to speak, they're not a Cinderella team. This is the best of college basketball. Some of the best coaching, some of the best styles. I mean, we're going to sit here and go the runner-up national championship game. You know, whether you think they're on an even path or not, it's just you better believe them kids in San Diego are going to come out. They're coming out ready to play. Like, they're going to get their best punch, right? Illinois, the Illini and their offense, I mean, their offensive attack, Iowa State, the way they defend UNC and Alabama. Like, are you kidding me? And then Clemson with against Arizona and, you know, with the potentially having the Caleb Love story reverse NC State. I mean, come on, Houston, Duke gets a chance. Everybody's been questioning Duke's toughness all year long. Saying it's soft, questioning Duke's tough. They got a chance now to come out and say, this is the toughest team in the country. We're going to find out about Duke. That's the game for me where I'm like, all right, those kids get a chance to say, we're going to show you we physically ready. Y'all think we soft. We're going to show you guys.
Can Jeff Goodman take Brad Brunell off the hot seat, please? Can he get him off his hot seat? Hasn't he been on the hot seat every single year, every single season, Brad Brunell, every year? Hey, can we get him off the hot seat, please?
They're still in Vegas, man. They hadn't got back yet. Rob and those guys.
Enough. Enough.
He has done an amazing job.
He's on the hot seat every single year. Everybody puts him. Borsello, Goodman. Everybody puts him on their hot seat. He's got him in the Sweet 16. Nobody had them winning in the first round.
No.
Everybody had New Mexico. I had New Mexico. I'm not going to lie. I picked New Mexico, Richard Pitino. And they just went out there and boat raced him.
I mean, the fact of the matter is this. When you look at Brad Brunell,
Did I lose you, Fanta?
I think you muted yourself. That's okay. You got fired up, Fanta. Come on. I like it. He's getting fired up, RC.
Hey, I'll go with this. Even the matchup, the next round with Purdue. We stopped there. Purdue and Gonzaga. Yeah. Like, I feel like that matchup is big. I mean, Gonzaga's just knife Sweet 16 in a row against Purdue. Hadn't really been tested. But again, I love the matchup for both teams. And then Creighton and Tennessee, that's going to be a rock fight. I think whoever gets to 61st wins that. The matchup with Kultbrenner, Adu. I mean, it's just a lot. I think it's the one that concerns me the most from a style, though. I will say this, when we look at them, I would go south, and I think it's Marquette and NC State.
Yeah, that's, and I wanted to get your I wanted to get your take, RC, on that, because you followed NC State and you cover NC State. Like, what is, like, this run that they're on? Is there something that you feel like has changed for them in their team? Is there something Coach Keats is doing differently, or has this been there the whole? I mean, this is remarkable. 5 games in 5 days and now have themselves in the Sweet 16. Is there anything you feel like has changed?
I always say Keats has a style about how he needs to play to be successful. And he can run guards in there. And no matter, if you're a guard, I think he's a guy you'd want to play for. He's going to demand for you to defend, but he's going to put you in a bunch of offensive situations and let you go. And it takes him I think every team changes when you add all these different parts, right? And he lost Jaquel Joyner. He lost Tarquavion Smith last year. And I think having those guys, the team was different. And you can't, you know, DJ Horn's been incredible for these guys. He's been playing at an all-conference level for them on the offensive end. He's coming. He's worn down. Jaden Taylor's coming in, another excellent defender. But, he, you know, taking him time to adjust a little bit. hit a dagger of a corner three, and they've been able to find Middlebrook coming off the bench and having his minutes, and then figuring out, you know, how to play DJ Burns, his unselfishness of being of figuring out, hey, you got to be aggressive when not to be aggressive. It just takes you time, and I think Keats has just done a hell of a job. I think it's taken him time to learn this team, but defensively they're going to get after you. They're going to be a tough out. They're playing with a level of desperation, I think, that it's unmatched. That every team tends to have. They found something right before the tournament, but I think it's just Keats pushing the right buttons, playing guys. They're not. This isn't the same rotation that was in earlier in the year, so. Credit to him, man. I'm more happy to him. You know how this business goes. That man goes from being on a hot seat to being talking about them running them off campus to being fired to sitting here now having a Wolfpack in the Sweet 16. So I'm a huge fan of Kevin Keats. He knows that. Best of luck to him and his group. I'm cheering for him.
You fellas hear me again?
We got you, Fanta. You're back, baby. Let's go.
Here's the thing. I'm going to give the ACC their absolute flowers here. This is from not Randolph Childress or Terrence Oglesby. It's from right here. It's from the desk of John Fanta. The Atlantic Coast Conference absolutely put on a show this weekend. Jim Phillips, you should pop open your best bottle of champagne. I know you're not done yet. You could have multiple Final Four teams. You've got a set of teams that really played complimentary basketball. Did you guys see the gear that North Carolina hit after the slow start against Michigan State? That's a national championship type gear. Duke, hey. In a world where everybody's questioning John Shire, right? Can he do it? Is he the guy? Is he going to be able to get it done? Can he go on the tournament run? I know that his team, and this is a big point of emphasis that we'll get into deeper in the show. I know that his team beat Vermont and James Madison. You don't apologize for NCAA tournament wins. I saw some people putting out some stuff yesterday about, well, they should win. They were playing these teams. Coach McCall, is there such a thing as they should win in the NCAA tournament?
Not in the tournament. Fanta, in 2006, our first national championship, we beat South Alabama, UW-Milwaukee to get to the Sweet 16, and George Mason to get to the national championship game. You don't apologize.
No.
We're not taking away the Final Four. We're not taking away the national championship because we played three mid-major programs on the way to it. It's hard to win games. It is hard. Ask John Calipari. Ask John Calipari how hard it is to win games in the NCAA tournament. It's hard. And you've got to get the right draw. You've got to get the right matchup. And you've got to get a couple bounces to go your way. John Shire is a heck of a coach. Obviously, he's doing an unbelievable job on the recruiting trail. He's still figuring out who he is as a young head coach. He took over one of the greatest programs in the history of college basketball. That's not easy for the greatest college basketball coach of all time. That's not easy to do. And he has to do it his way. And Coach K's still around. It's not like one of these situations where, I mean, he got to keep his office. He still has his office. So, you know, it's like these are huge shoes for Shire to fill. Huge. Let him figure out who he is. Give him some time. Now he's got this team in the Sweet 16. Apologize for who they beat.
And
that's nonsense.
And RC, I think Duke impressed as much as anybody not named UConn, Purdue. This weekend, we knew how great those teams were. But right now, Randolph Childress, and you saw this covering closely, if you give Jared McCain an inch, Jared McCain is going to make you pay right now. That backcourt for Duke is in sync, and they can cause a lot of problems for Houston.
He's one of the best catch-and-shoot guards in the country. And I think he's a guy that, you know, he's had a heck of a freshman year. You cannot let him catch it in rhythm. I mean, I watched him again, and seven of the eight threes he hit was off the catch. And then you get a rhythm he mixed in. You know, and it's not that he can't do it off the bounce, but he's more comfortable doing that. There's no way I'm allowing him to do that. This was shocking because they beat JMU, a team that we knew that was tough, had some guys on it that's going to get after him, and they just handled him. And it answers the bell. But if they really want to put the rest of the country on notice, I think they got an opportunity there because I think skill set-wise – multiple guards, they can give Houston some trouble.
Yes, they can. And we didn't even get to an Illinois-Iowa State deep dive. We're going to get to that. But next up, Coach Cal, Mitch Barnhart, big meeting in Lexington tomorrow. We're going to talk about this Kentucky stuff next.
Whether you are a world-class athlete or a podcaster like myself, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. After a six-month season loaded with cross-country travel and late nights, I can promise you that proper recovery is a priority for me these days. That is why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Field of 68. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers that's powered by the Energy Enhancement System, or the EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in New Jersey or at hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Are you interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Well, all you got to do is go to unifiedhealing.com/field to learn more and find a center near you. You can find that link in the description below. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/field. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before you undertake a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
Welcome back to the Field of 68 After Dark on this Monday night. John Fanta, Matt McCall, Randolph Childress with you all on the Field of 68. We're on X, we're on YouTube, we're on Sirius XM. And guys, let's jump in here to the news earlier tonight. John Calipari went on his weekly radio show in Lexington. His first public comments made since Kentucky got shocked by Oakland on Thursday night in the NCAA tournament. So Cal had a lot of things to say. He said that he'll meet with Mitch Barnhart tomorrow to talk through the season. The whole tone of the interview was that of a coach who fully expects that he will be back next season, as we've talked about, the buyout for Cal if Kentucky was to relieve him of his duties with no second weekend trips to the NCAA tournament since 2019. The buyout's over $33 million. Cal said this: he looks forward to what he has to say, meaning Mitch Barnhart, and how we can be better. He then went on to say on his radio show that instead of his team going to the Bahamas over the summer, like they've done here in past years, to play some competition, he wants to spend the summer, quote, grinding and working to play defense, end quote. He says he'll look at everything around the program, including the people around him. And then he said, quote, we need to get older. A reminder, Kentucky did start 2 fifth-year seniors this year, but okay, Cal says he wants to get older. So he said all of these things. He said some things to his fan base, said that Oakland was much more physical than his team. He said he knew the fans would go crazy. He says he thinks it will eventually die down. And then he says, quote, any fan out there, you guys got angry, but these players cried. I was sick like anyone else. There is a standard here. You've got to reach it. Our fans are engaged, but they are also engaged if we lose. Okay. So Randolph Childress, there were some surprise people tonight that, one, Cal did this before he has a meeting with Mitch Barnhart, because let's face it, we don't exactly know what that meeting is going to entail. And based on past reports, it's not like they're best friends. What's the latest thought process from you now that the weekend's come and gone on Cal, his status, what you'd like to see change, and where your head's at with all this?
I'll say this. Huge fan, a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Cal. I mean, we know who he is and what he is. I do think it's that at the bare minimum, that meeting, I think that's what it is. I think the meeting has to be, even for Cal, for Coach Cal, I think for Calipari and for the AD, is where are we going? Coach needs to know, because I doubt if he wants to be around. I would imagine all summer long what he's going to hear from those fans living in that community, what his family has to hear, his wife has to hear that when she leaves out of the house. passionate as those fans are, they're liable to say anything to him walking around, and I don't know how fun that'll be. He does have to change some things from a basketball perspective. I think that, you know, you're talking about spending the summer grinding on defense. Okay, whatever that means, you got to figure out a way to get them guarding during the course of a season. I think one of the biggest issues they have is just the overall construction of the roster. He has to consider that and do things differently. Not just that they're young. You had three guys essentially playing two positions there, and usually McDonald's All-Americans, they don't. That doesn't always work either. Three. They needed one of those three freshmen to be a transfer, you know, portal guy with a level of experience. So I think that's something that he can do, almost like a general manager's, you know, take on how he constructs his roster. So whether it's staff, whether it's something his philosophically, I think he has to change. There has to be something significant saying when that meeting is over with. There has to be an announcement, because the truth is he hasn't changed a lot himself. And when you've had the type of success that he has had, you don't need to change. There is time for some change, whether it be philosophically or whatever it is. Something has to come out of that meeting that moves them forward, period.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, adapting to the times of college basketball. And I still think he needs to recruit the best players in the country and do what he always has done that's made him super successful. But teams are older, rosters are older. I mean, being in the league with them when he was there, being an assistant at Florida for 4 years and trying to scheme and prepare, I mean, they had more talent than you a lot of nights when you'd line up and play, except the 1 year in 2014 where we went undefeated in the SEC. You know, we had an older team than he did. But trying to adapt to those times, I think, is something that's going to come out of this meeting. But look, my whole thing on this whole deal with Calipari, and I've said this before, 6 Final Fours, a national championship, 6, you know, SEC championships, regular season, 6 SEC tournament championships. I mean, if you look at his winning percentage, it's through the roof. It's like, okay, if this breakup needs to happen, like, who are you getting? Like, who are you legit coming in that can deal with the shark tank that is Kentucky basketball? I think that's the question that Kentucky fans need to, you know, ask themselves. And, you know, Athletic Director Barnard needs to ask himself in terms of that. But I think out of this meeting, it's just what's the direction that we're going in. You know, if you look at some of their – since 2019, that their tournament struggles, and I believe this, and it's not just because I have a lot of respect for him. I have a tremendous respect for Cal. He was great to me while I was at UMass. But John Robick's another guy that hasn't been on Cal's bench for a while. And you could tell when he was there, from a basketball standpoint, Cal really leaned on him and relied on him. And he hasn't been there. I think his last year was 2020. John Robick's an outstanding coach. He was a head coach once in his career too. So you don't know if it's staff changes that are coming. Something's going to change. I just don't see John Calipari not being on the sidelines next year for Kentucky with all the money that they have to owe him. And look, there's not a job out there that makes sense that you're like, okay, hey, you know, Texas is open. Cal should go to Texas. Texas is not open. They just signed Rodney Terry to a 5-year deal. So there's not a job that Calipari's, you know, going to walk away for.
There is a job. There is a job. There, and it's right. It's in the same state.
Yeah, it's in the same state.
Let's be clear. There's a big enough job that could take it on, and honestly, that would make the most sense. We've already said how what he's accomplished and what it is. But the truth is, when you're at Kentucky, it's like being at Carolina. Hubert takes over Carolina. 1 year, he's in the Natty. Next year, he doesn't make the tournament. There were people saying this year he was coaching for the job to be remaining the head coach at North Carolina. There are certain programs where you cannot just live off of what you've done. And this thing has changed. And I think the reason why people are upset or people want change is because you're right. Nobody's telling him not to recruit those the freshmen and whatever. They're just saying we seem like we're stalling out. It's the same stuff. And it's like it seems like we're not fixing the same issues. That's what's bothering some of the people. I think it's and you can, if it means, hey, Kyle, come up and be in front office. You know, be in the front office, what your contract allows you to do. And part of it is, do you want to deal with this?
Right.
Do you want to continue to be this person to deal with this? But there are opportunities, man. You, as a coach, you can't stay in a place too long. Kentucky isn't a place where you can win a championship and then just be like, all right, I'm good. I can put this thing in autopilot and ride it. And I think that as great as he was early on, he's a victim of his own success, and he has to make changes around it or go somewhere else. Totally. And hit the reset button.
Totally agree.
And I think that's what he needs to go to that meeting with and say, hey, you know, either – because it's going to – I say this because even with staff changes for him, it's going to be hard. Those are his dudes. Those are his guys that he had all around. Are you willing to go have that hard conversation and say, hey, and it isn't just you guys. It's however it needs to go. And I'm not putting it off on the staff. I'll say this even a better question. And I haven't coached with him. I don't know. Will he listen to them? It don't matter. Yes. That's the thing you realize. Is that if he's going to listen to it, it doesn't matter who he goes out and get and listen. If we're on a staff, Matt, and I'm sitting here making suggestions, and you don't listen to what I'm saying, guess what? Eventually, I'm going to sit there and be like, okay. But I'm just the guy that's going to tell you flat out when you come bitching at me, and I'm going to come back and be like, you got to fucking listen. So we don't know. That's what I mean when I say you got to come out of this meeting and it's got to be a firm. And that's essentially what he's saying. It's got to be, when we look at this thing from top to bottom, is everything's in play. Everything's in play.
Everything. I totally agree.
I totally agree with that as well. I think that first off, it's a smart PR move by Cal. He did the radio show tonight. People are like, how did Kentucky allow that? How did they allow him to do that? Excuse me, for them to disallow him, Mitch Barnhart would have to talk to John Calipari. Also, do you know who the boss is here? John Calipari. He's the boss. He's his own boss. Nobody's telling him what to do or not to do. Until this meeting happens, which it's happening tomorrow, everything's on the table. Because John Calipari is 65 years young. He plans to be at Kentucky the rest of his career. He sent in a feature that I talked with him about last year. He can't see himself anywhere else. But when Mitch Barnhart and John Calipari sit down tomorrow, the biggest question that you ask, like any powerful head coach and powerful AD of all time, is will they check their egos at the door and will they have a real conversation about what has to happen? Because in my opinion, if that real conversation is not willing to happen, then we might see something explosive happen in Lexington. Real change has to occur. Doing the same thing over and over again with a program with far better expectations is the absolute definition of insanity. They have not met the bar. You can both call him a legendary coach and acknowledge that over the last half decade, this program has come very short of meeting that bar. And now it's time for an honest conversation. Will these two parties be willing to have it? Coming up after this, we will talk more about the Sweet 16. Folks, are we in for one of the great Sweet 16s ever? We'll get some predictions from these guys ahead.
There is nothing better in sports than tournament time, which is why I need to tell you guys about our partners over at Rhythm. If you're into sports betting, you need Rhythm, the place for data-backed props and picks. For those that are unfamiliar, Rhythm, spelled R-I-T-H-M-M, is the go-to mobile app for player props and game picks. Backed by AI predictive models, Rhythm helps you make smarter and faster betting decisions across all sports, but particularly college basketball. With Rhythm, you get data-backed picks for every single Division I game every single day. Users get free picks daily with the ability to upgrade to unlimited access. If you want to increase your edge and win more bets, go to the link in the description and download Rhythm today. That's R-I-T-H-M-M, the place for data-backed props and picks. And while we're here, let me tell you about our newest partner for the month of March, Splash Sports, the home of certified community competition, where you get to play against your friends and not the house. Whatever game it is that you are playing, from Survivors to Tears to Pick X, the safest way to play for real money without the hassle of having to track down deposits or worry about payments is through Splash. They have partnered with PaySafe, the best deposit and payment system in the world, to ensure that money stays in safe hands and is delivered to the right places. To join the Field of 68 Survivor Madness, click the link in our profile below and join in. Entries are $5 a pop with a prize pool of up to $4,500. Winner take all. Join Splash and come prove that you're smarter than us.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the Field of 68 After Dark. John Fanta, Matt McCall, Randolph Childress with you. Let's get back to the Sweet 16. Hey, on Last Call, which will be live on the Stadium app. Get to the Stadium app for Last Call. We'll take your questions. We'll talk about the coaching carousel and much, much more. We'll get to the carousel from midnight to 12:30. But, you know, I love talking about the carousel, and we will get to it. But I know you both will never object to talking about what's happening on the court and these teams earn their way. Yeah, right.
Let's get off the carousel. Let's get back to the ball. Come on.
Let's get back to the ball.
Get back to the hoops.
So here's my question, okay, McCall? And then we're going to get into predictions here because we got about 10, 11 minutes. I look at this East region. UConn-San Diego State. And then you get Iowa State, Illinois. First off, the second game is, I mean, right? It is ridiculous how great of a game this is. You have the best defense analytically in the country in the Cyclones. And Taman Lipsy, Keyshawn Gilbert versus Terrence Shannon, Marcus Domask, and a Brad Underwood-led program. I think Illinois fans are going to show out in Boston. First Sweet 16 since 2005. This is a big moment for this program. I guess the question I'm asking, everybody and their mother has UConn going to that Final Four. McCall, I look at this and I'm like, you know, I agree, but I do think they're going to get tested. Do you believe that 8-game winning streak of 13-plus point wins, UConn's won 8 straight tournament games by 13-plus points. Do you believe that this weekend in Boston we see an end to that streak?
Not in the Sweet 16. Not in the Sweet 16. I think Coach Hurley's going to have this team so motivated, fired up to play, playing against the same team they played against last year in the tournament. I think the Sweet 16 matchup, no. The Elite Eight matchup with whoever they play, I mean, this game between Illinois and Iowa State is going to be phenomenal. You got one of the best offenses in the country. You just alluded to it. Against one of the best defenses in the country. T.J. Alsenberger is up for Wooden Coach of the Rear Year, rightfully so. Like, that's the game. I think both of those teams could push UConn. Do I still think UConn wins and gets to the Final Four? Yes. But I think either one of those teams that they could face could push them, and they could be in a close game, which I've been saying this all for the past 5 weeks. That's my biggest concern with UConn is they, outside of the loss at Creighton, they haven't been in a close game. Like, they've been blowing everybody out. Everybody out. And the loss at Creighton, that game wasn't really close. So when it comes down to adversity, tight game, we need to stop with the game on the line, or who's going to get a bucket, or what are we running with the game on the line, those types of things. They haven't been in that situation in a really, really, really long time. But I think both of those teams, Illinois and Iowa State, could push them.
Who pushes them more, RC? Which of these two teams, if they meet UConn, would present more issues?
I think the only team that will truly test them and could be relatively close in a game that where we're talking about where it's not until it's not a 6-point game with 30 seconds or anything like that, and they make a couple of free throws and take it up to 10, that could have them probably sweating as the Illini, because UConn forces you to score. I mean, yesterday, yeah, you're talking about a team that shot over 50% from the floor, over 50%, and they were 3 for 23 from behind the 3-point line.
Yeah, they didn't even shoot the three well.
They scored 75 points. I mean, they didn't shoot the three at all, and they still put up 75 points in a blowout. I think San Diego State can't score enough. Jaden Ledee is a big time player. I think things won't be as easy as it's been. He's just physically dominated his opponents. I don't think that'll be the case against UConn. Someone else besides Lamont Butler has to make a shot. The guards, you know, I don't know if it's going to be Reese. I don't know whoever it's going to be. Somebody's got to step up. The Illini is the one team, I think, that has enough bodies inside. They got Dane Danger. You know, Coleman Hawkins can be a matchup nightmare. His ability maybe to pull clinging from the basket can make it a game.
Yes.
And then there's not a better player, a better wing in college basketball than Terrence Shannon. He is on an absolute tear. I can see that if you're going to attack UConn, I think the athleticism on the wings could be the best way to do it, and no one's better at that than him. So I'm going to go with the Illini in that matchup. I think everyone else – I think Iowa State will struggle to score and keep up the pace with UConn.
Totally agree.
All right, we got about 5 minutes here. So let's go to the West. You got North Carolina, Alabama, and you got Arizona, Clemson. Again, amazing run by Brad Brownell's team. Hell of a – like New Mexico, a lot of people thought New Mexico would win. Forget about it. Chase Hunter, Joe Girard, P.J. Hall, that team is balanced offensively, and they are guarding. But Arizona is a juggernaut. So, McCall, who's going to come out of the West region when it's all said and done?
I think we're going to get exactly what everybody wanted when they saw the West region. I think we're going to get an Elite Eight of Caleb Love versus his old team in North Carolina. It's what everybody wants to see. I think we're going to get that matchup. I really believe it. Carolina, and RC alluded to this earlier, the experience factor – the fact that they've been there, their two guys have been there. They have played for a national championship. Hubert Davis, everything that he went through last year, this is an experienced group. They're going to face off against Caleb Love, which was a good breakup for everybody. It needed to happen for Caleb Love. It needed to happen for North Carolina. But I got the Tar Heels coming out of this region. But it's a game that everybody in the country is going to be zoomed in on. And I think we get it. I really do. I think we get this game out in Los Angeles.
Either team could, meaning Clemson and Alabama, could win these matchups for sure without a question. I'm a big Clemson fan, and Alabama and what Nate Oakes has done is just incredible. He's in the mix of maybe arguably the best coach and more inventive coach in college basketball, which is why he's losing so many assistants to head coaching jobs. But there's no game in this tournament. I think there's two games everyone wants to see, whether we get them or we don't. That's UConn and Purdue, and that's Notre Dame and Arizona. I mean, North Carolina and Arizona. The Caleb Love matchup with Carolina, man, come on. I mean, like you know, this is one of those games everybody's just hoping. I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's what everybody wants to see from a storyline. But they got the home.
I appreciate your candor. Like, you know,
it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I think it is. I think it is. And I got to tell you, I just think I think the amount of vitriol around Love, it's going to go one of two ways. Either he's going to just put a cape on and Keyshawn Johnson's tough as nails and Pelle Larsen. Like, I don't know why, guys, but if it gets to that point, that to me would just be epic. I could see either team, but the closer that gets, the more I think, McCall, like, motivation's everything in sport. And it wouldn't
the
shock me if Arizona
too.
I kind of am waiting Arizona to get to that. Yes.
I mean, I think it was their first round game. Those three guards had 20 assists and two turnovers. 20 assists and two turnovers amongst the three of them. Like that, the unselfishness and the physicality up front with Balo, I mean, they are really, really good. I mean, I could see it. I have Carolina just because they've been there with those guys. But this yes. this game is going to – is that's the only reason I'm giving them the nod. But I love what Tommy Lloyd and this offense does and how unselfish they are. And the ball flies up the floor. They play with great pace, and it moves. It moves, which makes them electric.
I think the team that has that ability to play it with them is Carolina.
Yes.
Yes, I agree with that. It's stylistically, it's a beautiful matchup. It'll be on Easter Sunday. It would be – wonderful for all parties involved. Like, that would just be a phenomenal, phenomenal college basketball game. It would actually be on Saturday. That regional final, like the East, would be on Saturday. The South and the Midwest would be our Easter Sunday. Quickly, we only have 2 minutes. You got Houston and Duke and Marquette NC State. RC, in 20 seconds, tell me who's going to come out of the South.
I got to go with Houston. I just
okay. Yep.
Whoever wins that Houston Duke matchup, I think will go to the Final Four. But it's going to be hard to bet against Houston. Duke is just having some injuries and they're dinged up.
All right, McCall, I'm going to have you take the Midwest here. You got about 40 seconds to tell me Purdue Gonzaga is on Friday night, and the other Sweet 16 game is Creighton. Tennessee, is Zach Edey going to get to this promised land?
Zach Edey's going to get to the promised land.
There it is.
Braden Smith, those guys are on a mission. I think we get a Tennessee-Purdue matchup to go to the Final Four. At least that's what I had in my bracket, Fanta. So I'm hoping we get that because that's what I had. And I think Purdue gets there. And to RC's point, there's two matchups that everybody wants to see. It's Arizona and Carolina to get to the Final Four, and it's Purdue-UConn. And I really believe it's going to happen. They've been the two best teams, the two most consistent teams all season. I think we're going to get that matchup for the national championship.
Which one seed is the most susceptible to losing?
Houston.
I think it's Carolina. I think it's Carolina okay. just because of Arizona's yeah. offense.
Well, here's the thing. It won't happen with all four ones. That's only ever happened one time in the history of the NCAA tournament. Once! Once.
What year?
So if it does happen, it would be two. That's going to come tomorrow on After Dark or on Last Call. See you on Last Call, guys. So long.